Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the second year in a row.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. If you just tuned in, if you've been hanging around with us already today, thank you for that too. And we got some good conversation lined up for you over the next few minutes with our good friend Michael Cox. Mike is Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. And Mike's an old friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the co-author of the Pulitzer-nominated book, Myths of Rich and Poor. And he's our good friend, Mike Cox. Welcome back to the show.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, it's been a while.
It's been a while, and we've missed you.
I miss you, and I'm glad to be back on.
Go ahead.
Do this more often.
Yeah, we will have to, and I'm glad to have you back. Michael, now, you want to talk about something that I'm afraid might get us into trouble. I know you want to talk about women in the marketplace, and I like to talk about women in the marketplace. In fact, I've actually been recognized over the years by some folks, all the way up to the President of the United States for the work that I've done on women in the marketplace. But it always makes me a little nervous when two guys want to get together and talk about women in the marketplace.
Well,
what do you think?
I think we can handle it, don't you?
Well, I hope so. But if we can't, I want you to send all letters and comments and emails to Michael Cox, care of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. All right, Mike, what's on your mind?
Well, you know, Larry Summers did get himself in trouble talking about this.
Tell the audience what you're talking about.
Well, he made a comment recently. I don't have an exact quote. And I think it came out a lot different than he intended it to, or it was taken maybe too far. But the implication was that women were not able to, he didn't say able, women weren't in the sciences as much as men. And so I've been looking at this data for a long time in two arenas: how much are women getting educated today as compared to in the past, and where? And then the second one is, look, where are women getting employed, the jobs that they're taking?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I show this to my students at SMU, where I'm an adjunct professor, every mm-hmm. year. I show it to the women because I want to say to them, look, you know, see, my daughter goes to SMU as well, and I want her to say, you don't have any excuses anymore that you can use to say, well, I just can't do it. You can do it. And women all over the place are doing it. And men, you better pay attention because the world is changing. It's not a man's world anymore. I used to play in a rock band, and we sang a song called It's a Man's World by James Brown.
Right.
It's a person's world now.
Yeah. Well, you're right about that, Mike. And the thing is that's the thing I've been pointing out for years now is the growth of the explosion in the growth of women business ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's nothing that women can't do in the marketplace, obviously, that men have been doing all these years. One of the reasons why women have not been as evident in the marketplace, especially from an ownership standpoint, historically, has been more cultural and environmental than anything
absolutely.
Else.
Absolutely. Look, I can take you. It's absolutely cultural. Don't forget that some of the greatest scientists in history are women. Madame Curie, mm-hmm. go all the way back. Rosalind mm-hmm. Franklin, Watson and Crick, the team who got the Nobel Prize for discovering DNA. Well, Crick was dating Rosalind Franklin on the side and was, managed to get some information to her about the shape of the double helix. And she died at age 37 of cancer, largely ignored for her contribution. And really,
right.
I think let me give you some data. Let's just get to the data. Something happened in about 1970 where women started to see themselves possibly not just one role, but as a housewife and a mother and a homekeeper, but also in the role of a professional. And if you look at the data on the share of new degrees and different kind of things going to women, it changed dramatically. First of all, back then, only 10% of the doctorate degrees were going to women. Today, over 40% of the PhDs are going to women. In 1950, 30% of the master's degrees were going to women. Today, 56-57% of the new degrees, master's, are going to women. 57% of the bachelor's degrees are going to women, and that's up from 23% in 1950. So looking across the broad categories of bachelor's, master's, and doctorates, women have gone way past 50% on master's and bachelor's and are up in the 40s now for doctorates, share of doctorates.
Mm-hmm.
More women graduate from college than men, far more, 57 compared to 43.
More women in law school, women in medical school, I think, as well.
Yeah,
Michael, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about this, and I want to make sure that we comment on more specifically what Larry Summers said about this when he made his comments at Harvard a few weeks ago. Stay with us, 22. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. I hope you'll check it out today, and I hope you'll, if you haven't already, and those of you who have been to my site, I know you are enjoying it, and I appreciate that. Appreciate also those of you who subscribe to my free newsletter, and I hope you, the rest of you who haven't, will, because I think you'll like it. And we're studying, the articles I'm doing right now is a series that I'm doing on some of the operating fundamentals of our small businesses, and it's about an eight week series that we're working on right now. Michael Cox is our guest. He's a senior vice president and chief economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. Mike, give us your website, please.
www.dallasfed.org.
Can we still get your annual report? Can we still get a free copy of that?
Yes, you can.
On their website.
Definitely look forward to next year's annual report coming out in April. It's on education. Actually, it's on lifelong learning and pursuit of the American dream. How important it is today to never stop learning.
We're going to schedule you back on the show when that comes out. And I appreciate, folks, this is every single annual report that the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas puts out under Michael's outstanding direction and leadership is just full of information that will help you manage your small business, especially from the standpoint of visioning, especially from the standpoint of where you're going. And so men and women, ladies and gentlemen, kiddies and cousins, please check out that. Go to dallasfed.org. Can they actually download it?
The PDF.
You can download it, or if you ask them, they will mail you a copy. But I look forward to mine every year. And Michael, congratulations again on the fine job that you guys do there with that. Michael, I want to come back to something. We started out by referencing this whole conversation that we're having about women in the marketplace by referencing the comment that Larry Summers made, the president of Harvard, and how he got into trouble. But I think it's important to point out that he didn't say anything about whether women could be successful in the academics, whether they could be successful in business or politics. He didn't say any of that. What happened was he was invited to a forum where people were encouraged to think provocatively and to talk about some of the challenges that were out there and to pose questions. And so he posed essentially this question: is the reason why women are underrepresented in the academics with regard to math and science? Women are underrepresented in math and science in academics. Is the reason why that is a fact an issue of gender?
Mm-hmm.
And for posing that question, he got into really been on the hot seat, which I think improperly, because there's an article. Mike, by the way, there's an article, an excellent, well-done article by Dan Seligman in Forbes, in the February 28th edition of Forbes on page 100, and it actually identifies some research that's been done by men and women that kind of support what he says. But that's another issue. That's academics for math and science. It's not about what you and I are talking about right now.
Well, here's what my data shows. Women are taking over everything, and science is no exception. Because let me give you some of the data here. In 1970, only 1% of the graduating dentistry class was women. Today, it's 40%.
Mm-hmm.
In 1970, only 2% of the MBAs were going to women. Today, it's 40%. Today,
right.
Up in everything, 43% of the graduating law school class in 2001 was women. Now, look at veterinarians and pharmacists. 68%
right.
are women.
One of the things that the research that this article pointed out, Mike, was similar to what you're talking about, and that was that women do like things, especially if it deals with humans.
Absolutely.
They like the human touch.
And, Jim, there's a lot of human sciences. There's health sciences and there's biological sciences. Let me give you some data on that. At the bachelor's level, 61% of the graduates in biological sciences are women. Okay? In the health sciences area, 85.5% are women. Now, the lowest scientific kind of thing is engineering. 19% of the graduates in 2001, 2002 were women, but that's up from 0.8% three mm-hmm. decades ago. So there were huge gains in physics. 45% of the geologists at the bachelor's level that are being graduated are women, up from 11%. And computer science is a little bit more interesting. Women took a foray into computer science, were only 13.5% in 1970, increased to about 40% in the mid-80s, but kind of said, you know, wait, I don't think I like this, and now they've backed off to 27.5%.
Mm-hmm.
You're right that the data seem to suggest that women would prefer to go into a science which is more physically oriented and more people oriented, more biological oriented, and they're you know, dominant in that field. But anything is open to them, obviously.
Right.
And there's, you know, the first programmer was a woman. So, you know.
Well, it's in terms of business, women are excelling, and I'll tell you. The women today really should take tip their hats, so to speak, to the women who went before them in the marketplace, who were capitalizing their businesses at a time when banks weren't women friendly, and they braved those frontiers. And we've had a number of those women on the show, and one of those women, Lillian Vernon, is going to be on this show in a week from Monday, I think it is, when I'm in Florida, folks, for the Office Depot's Business Women's Success conference that I'm going to be at. I'm going to have Lillian Vernon in person. She and I are going to be across the table from each other as I interview her on this show when I'm down there for that. So I'm looking forward to that. That's a lady who was really a pioneer in growing a large business, a small business, into a large business a number of years ago. Michael Cox is our guest. We're going to be right back after these messages. It's 10 till. Stay with us.
Back again. How long has it been?
We're back. It's 17 till. No, it's 7 till. What's more? I'm having trouble telling time today for some reason, folks. It's only 7 till. I didn't mean to give you a heart attack. Thanks for joining us. I don't think I'm going to tell you who I am. Michael Cox is our guest. I'll tell you who he is. Mike's a good friend, senior vice president and chief economist at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. And again, I want to encourage you to go to their website, dallasfed.org, and download their annual report. And then you can look forward to the next one. You know, Mike, we're talking about women in the marketplace. I have a great story of a woman that I knew once who owned a radio station. She was a young woman. And the copier salesman, they had a brand new fancy-dancy copier, and the salesman was demonstrating the copier to all the employees. Well, at the end of his demonstration, he was just about through. Well, a young lady walks up, and some of the people said, "Well, we'd like for you to would you please go through that again for this one, for mm-hmm. her." And he basically said, "Look, I just went through the demo. I'm not going to go through this every time a secretary walks up." And I guess you already know that this lady who just walked up wasn't the secretary.
Yeah, oh, pretty obviously, yeah.
So this may have been the quickest return of a copier that ever happened.
Well,
I don't know which went out the door first, the copier or the salesperson, but they both went out with a bum's rush. But isn't that a great story?
That's great.
You got to be careful, guys, these days.
Well, it's just stereotyping. You know, this is the great thing about all this. This is a very free world now. Women can do math, and you don't have to accept that, be painted with that brush, as people say.
Well, I think that's exactly right. But see, here's the thing that I think is important: women doing math and women seeking academic positions as math teachers, that's two different things.
Right.
Don't you think so?
Well, I can do
a lot of things, Mike, that I don't prefer to pursue.
Absolutely
professionally.
True. But, you know, even there, Jim, you can see that the there's been growth in the number of women who are police officers.
That's right.
There's a couple of jobs that women apparently don't really want to do. And
careful now, Mike. You don't want to get into trouble.
No,
like
I'm not. Look, women don't like being construction workers, although there are a few women construction workers.
Yeah.
There are not many women taxi drivers. Sitting in the front seat of a car with some guy in the back with maybe a gun or something is not a good idea. But police officers, more all the time. Males are becoming nurses. Mm-hmm. Women do like medical stuff. 51% of today's jobs
that
are being held in medical science by women. 66% of psychologists. 55% of the accountants. If you just financial managers, 53% of the financial managers are women. There are certain occupations that women just choose to shy away from, but the ones who do want to work there can. There are only a handful of women in this country who operate a crane, digging cranes or one of those things, mm-hmm. building cranes and so on. But that's not a matter of ability. It's a matter of choice. Very few women blow up buildings. There's
but
a lot
you know,
of brothers,
but you know what, Mike? I have interviewed a number of women who own construction companies since I've been on the radio, since I've been doing the show.
Yeah,
a
and
number of
capitalist?
Them I've met that I've met. Pavement construction companies, landscape construction companies, et cetera, et cetera.
But they do, they can do just, and they choose to do, think computer operators, 48% women.
Can I encourage, I'd like to point out somewhere that we should all be watching over the next 1 to 5 years, really, and that is the women in Iraq.
Yes.
Start watching the emergence of women in Iraq. Iraq is not like a lot of the other countries in the Middle East in terms of how they feel about their women, how they treat their women. It's different. It is an Islamic country, but they're different over there. And watch Iraq and see how, if you want to see how women are emerging and how opportunity is going to unfold for women and how they're going to play a role, an important role. Did you know their new constitution has to be, that their assembly over there has to be represented 25% women? Do you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Why just 25%?
Well, that's the minimum, though. I mean, they have to have that much.
A lot better than zero.
Well, if I mean, my point is, my hat's off to them for recognizing that's an important goal for them.
Right. Well.
Yeah.
Listen, let me tell you, folks, there's something. We're gonna
Mike, you got 10 seconds.
We have a lot of data coming out on our website on this. Mothers, get your daughters. www.dallasfed.org. Read it. You'll
Thank
love
you.
It.
Thank you, Mike. Good job today, as always. We're going to get you back again real soon.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks. See you later. Michael Cox, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.